Welcome to Executive Leaders Radio, your spot in the corner office, the radio show where executives share their secrets to success. Executive Leaders Radio.
You're listening to Executive Leaders Radio. This is your host, Herb Cohen, with my co-host, Jim Wilson Newmark, Mike Hooper Obermeyer, Russ Stark Weidenhammer, Ari Banerjee, Consumer 51, Jim Hempel, TGS Financial, and John Golnack, Solomon Edwards. We have a great lineup of guests for you on our show today. Mr. Russ Stark, could you please give us the rundown, please?
Good thing, Herb. We have Tom Salamenti, the CEO of Spread Bagelry. We have Chuck Sebastiani, managing partner of Mechanical X Advantage. We have Katie Bro, partner at MGA Partners, and Ed Baumstein, founder of Recipe Philly.
Let's get to our first guest, Tom Salamenti, CEO of Spread Bagelry. What is Spread Bagelry, Tom?
Yeah, thanks for having me, Herb. Spread Bagelry is a premium bagel operator, 17 locations in the Northeast and Southeast with concentration around Philadelphia, Atlanta. We're wood-fired bagels. We're the home of the standard, which is the best bacon, egg, and cheese in the business.
Gotcha. Where are you from? How many brothers and sisters? Where are you in the pecking order?
Yeah, I live in Mendham, New Jersey now, but grew up not too far from there, Parsippany, New Jersey. Mm-hmm. Had a younger brother, younger sister, so I'm the oldest of three. We grew up in a 800-square-foot, two-bedroom apartment. Parents were, struggled to keep jobs, alcoholic, drug addicts, and, struggled through that for many years. And we were on food stamps, welfare, so there was a lot of fighting for ourselves.
Uh-huh. You mentioned that one of the things you wanted to do 8 to 14 years old was get out of the house. Why was that, and what were you doing?
Yeah, look, it just wasn't such a great scene at home all the time. Mm-hmm. What I realized is, when I was out of the house, I could be a little bit more myself, a little bit more comfortable, not mm-hmm. worrying about things nonstop. Mm-hmm. So, I was always out. I played sports. I played three sports.
Gotcha.
Baseball, football, wrestling.
Jim, you want to give me a hand?
You said you'd do anything to get out of the house, sports, getting to school early. What were you really searching for back then? Structure, safety, something else?
Yeah, it's hard to say what you're searching for when you're 8 years old, right? But I knew that being outside the house, I could be a little bit more in control of my own destiny.
Was there a place where you felt like this is where I belong?
Yeah, look, at eight years old, you feel like you belong in school. You feel like you belong in sports. But really, when I started to be able to fend for myself a little bit and make money for myself, that's when I felt like I can control things a little bit easier.
Mm-hmm. Russ?
Yeah, Tom, I mean, that's a pretty unstable environment for a young kid. Was there an adult or a mentor who helped you out of that? And how did that shape who you are today?
Look, I have a lot of really good friends, and some of my friends were in the apartment complexes with me and in tough environments, and we kind of bonded like that. And I also had friends that came from great homes, and I saw how their families operated, and I said, wow, it doesn't have to be like the way I do that, and it is a little bit of a result of the decisions that adults make.
I bet you have a pretty tight management team nowadays because you understand you really can have friends and you can have relationships and depend on people. John, what do you think?
Yeah, Tom, did that lack of comfort and security at home, did that give you the courage or drive to go explore new things? How did that impact your fear as an entrepreneur?
Yeah, it's really a good question. I don't really look at it like there's a fear of doing new things. I just always feel like my back is against the wall, and I've always felt that way. And when your back's against the wall, you're looking forward only, right? Because there is no behind you, right? So when you're looking forward only, it forces you to be creative. It forces you to work hard. It forces you to build great relationships and do any of the things you need to do to survive and be really successful.
Gotcha, Mr. Hempel.
You were working hard and on your own from an early age. How does that help you in the restaurant business with the people that you employ?
Yeah, great question. Look, restaurant business is all grit. It's all how you show up. You got to show up, right? And it's how you show up every single day. And, now as an executive, I'm able to look at the dishwasher in the eye and level with that person because I've done that job before. I worked really hard to get to where I got to. The cook, I busted my tail as a cook too. So when I'm asking them to do something, I have that credibility. And I'll even get on the tools myself sometimes too. So look, this is a hard working business and most are, right? Like I don't fool myself that it's just restaurants. Mm-hmm. Everybody's out there working hard. And if you know that it's going to be hard, that's the first step, right?
Now
you go solve it.
Tom, in the green room, we talked about your background in wrestling and your uncle's getting into wrestling. What did being on the mats teach you, or what did it do for your mindset?
Yeah, look, getting through a wrestling practice is a challenge. The practice alone, let alone getting out there on your own in a mat, mano a mano, one-on-one, and having to get through that, win or lose, it creates, you know, a sense of I can do this, right? If you lose, it's like, wow, that wasn't so bad, and I learned this, this, and this. And if you win, it gives you a sense of confidence. So there's both areas, right? All my sons wrestle now. I have three younger sons, one older, mm-hmm. doesn't wrestle, and they all wrestle. That's just the lesson. It's not about win or lose.
Yeah. Michael?
Tom, how did you parlay the disappointments, the difficulties of your youth into the CEO you are today?
Yeah, it's a good question. I wouldn't say there was disappointment, right? I don't really understand that, because I think disappointment comes from a result of like having expectations. And when you grow up the way that I did, there was no expectations, you know? The expectation is survival, you know, and keep getting better. And if you have that mindset, eventually you get to that point where you're in a position of leadership and leading others, you know? I didn't have mm-hmm. much disappointment in my career. Mm-hmm. Every career is up and down, mm-hmm. right? There is no linear line.
Russ?
You know, Tom, what was the major pivot point when you knew you could run a company?
Look, like I said, it's not linear, right? But there were certain times in my career when I said, these are the folks at the table making the decisions. Why not me? Right. And maybe I don't have the same degree that they have or had the same education level. But what I had was a lot of street smart. And like the person you're seeing today is the person I am at work. It's the person I am in the boardroom. And it served me very well, you know. And I think that kind of different mindset that I bring to the table is something that gets very appreciated, because it just comes across as passion, right? Mm-hmm. Passion, hard work, those things mm-hmm. are going to help you get to the level you want to get to.
Mr. Wilson?
What have you learned from your four sons?
Look, being a parent humbles you like nothing else, right? And having sons, you got to show up as a man, right? So when I'm able to look at them at the table every day and say, you know, dad worked hard, worked with integrity, treated people right today, right? I need to be able to say that whether I'm saying that to them or not, right? Because now I'm parenting other young men. What I've noticed is you have to treat people like everybody's different, right? You have four sons, they are different. So as a leader, I have to lead my team very differently, right? I have to show up for that person, not this is Tom's way that he likes to lead. You have to meet him where he is. I have to meet people where they are, right? And bring them up, right? So I'm more of a pull type of leader, pull the most out of folks rather than push down and say, you got to meet me here. If that really makes sense. And children help you do that, because mm-hmm. if you try to parent all of your children the same way, you're going to be disappointed in the results, and the kids mm-hmm. are going to be disappointed in the type of parent that you are.
Do you think being a dad now is giving you a chance to create something for them that you didn't have?
Obviously that is there, right? And my wife also has even potentially humbler beginnings, came here at 9 years old to live with family that she'd never met before from the Dominican Republic, didn't speak the language. So yeah, we parent and we live our lives under that thought process of, yes, we'd like to give a lot more opportunity to our children, but we also like to keep them very humble and let them know where they came from, right? Mm-hmm. We were not children of CEOs, no.
Tom, you think you're ever going to retire?
No, absolutely not. My wife knows that too. Whether it's serving on boards or starting my own businesses, this is what drives me. I've found my niche. It is restaurants, hospitality, food and beverage, leading people. There's no reason for me to retire unless I slow down in my, you know, mental capacity. And they tell me, Tom, you're no longer wanted around here. Maybe we just want your money or the name. That's fine, you know, and I'll be okay with that when the time comes, hopefully.
So you're pretty driven. You're really driven. It sounds like nothing's ever good enough. Your back's against the wall. What's the website address for this organization known as Spread Bagelry?
Yeah, spreadbagelry.com. We're growing now. We're raising capital, and that's going very well. We're looking to be the premium national brand a bagel. I've run breakfast bands before.
Gotcha. We've been speaking with Tom Salamenti, CEO of Spread Bagelry, here on Executive Leaders Radio. Don't forget to visit our website, executiveleadersradio.com, to learn more about our executive leaders. It's executiveleadersradio.com to learn more about our executive leaders. We'll be back in a moment right after this quick break. Don't go anywhere. And your name and organization is?
Jill Steinberg, I'm a managing director and partner at Beacon Point Advisors.
And what makes the organization special?
What makes us special, we're a comprehensive wealth management firm, but what we really do is help people make smart financial decisions so they can live their best lives and gain peace of mind about their futures.
Mm-hmm. Is there a special group that you enjoy working with the most?
Yes, I love working with high net worth individuals. I work with a lot of couples, business owners, and executives, but I also have a special passion with working with women, particularly those going through a transition such as retirement, divorce, or loss of a spouse.
Mm-hmm. Sounds like you really enjoy your work. What's the website address for your organization?
The website address is beaconpoint.com. That's point with an E at the end.
And your name again is, and your website address one last time?
Jill Steinberg, beaconpointwithan.com.
This 60 seconds of service is presented by T-Mobile. Those who serve, save. Military families get exclusive savings with T-Mobile, America's best network, according to Ookla speed test. So you can stay connected wherever duty calls. Visit t-mobile.com/military-savings to learn more.
Nearly eight decades after the end of World War II, a 99-year-old American veteran made a journey back across the Atlantic, returning to the Czech city he helped liberate. As he arrived, the streets were lined with people waving American flags. Children sat on their parents' shoulders. Flowers were tossed gently toward him as he passed. For a moment, time seemed to fold in on itself. Young soldier then, honored hero now. He had been barely out of his teens when he first entered the city in 1945. Back then, the mission was survival. Now the mission was remembrance. Today's 60 Seconds of Service is brought to you by Prevagen. Prevagen is the number one pharmacist-recommended memory support brand. You can find Prevagen in the vitamin aisle in stores everywhere.
Wesley Financial Group is not a law firm.
I'm Chuck McDowell, founder of Wesley Financial Group. Did you buy a timeshare because they told you it was a great investment? That's a lie. Most timeshares can be bought online for a dollar. To find out what your timeshare is worth and to cancel it, call us today and we'll send you our timeshare exit kit free with all your options for cancellation.
Call Wesley for your free exit info guide. 800-296-6868. That's 800-296-6868.
You know the rush when you reach that goal, when something you've worked for pays off. That's success. At University of Maryland Global Campus, we believe you should never stop chasing it. That's why we offer a skills-based education that helps move your career forward. Learn how to apply emerging technologies like AI and data science. Build your leadership and critical thinking skills. Apply now and save with no application fee. Classes start May 13th. Learn more at umgc.edu. Certified to operate in Virginia by Chef.
We're back. You're listening to Executive Leaders Radio. This is your host, Herb Cohen, and let's get to know Chuck Sebastiani, Managing Partner of Mechanical X Advantage. Chuck, what is Mechanical X Advantage? What are you guys doing?
Well, thanks for having me, Herb. Mechanical X Advantage is a platform company that we can solve any problem in the building, from as complex as changing your HVAC system to as changing a doorknob.
Gotcha. Where you from? How many brothers and sisters? Where are you in the pecking order?
I'm from the beautiful town of Clifton Heights, Pennsylvania, right outside of Philadelphia. I have an older sister, and that's it.
Gotcha. 8 to 14, what were you up to? What were you doing 8 to 14?
Oh, man, I was hanging out with my friends in the neighborhood. We were playing sports. We were getting into trouble as kids and having just a lot of fun.
How young were you when you started making money?
Oh, man, Herb, I was 11 years old, started getting paid $6 an hour at my mom's school that she started.
Your mom started a school. Tell us a little bit more about what you got, what you were doing there, and what's that have to do with what you're doing nowadays?
Well, what I was doing there was absolutely anything I can do for an hour because I was getting paid $6 an hour. So $6 an hour for an 11-year-old kid was great. I'd go and take trash out. I'd paint, which I hate painting, and I was terrible at it, but I got $6 for painting a wall for an hour. So I was the kid in the neighborhood that had a couple dollars, and I was able to treat them at the water ice stand. So
you went ahead and you took your friends out for water ice?
Absolutely.
Oh, boy, you're all about community. Mr. Hemphill, give me a hand, please.
Immigrant family. Chuck, what do you bring from your dad? You just talked about your mom. What do you bring from your dad to work every day?
Well, my dad was born in Italy and came here when he was five. And he moved into a neighborhood in South Philly, and he was a commissioned sales guy. And he was out all the time just working, and I knew he was doing that for us. And it was great.
Mm-hmm.
So what was it like having him out there all the time instead of being at home?
Well, he did a really good job of splitting it up, you know, but I knew he was out there for us. He would coach baseball as much as he could. He would get the games as quick as he could, but we kind of all knew that he was out doing things because as an insurance salesman, you got to go meet people at night, and that's what he was doing. But he was doing it for us, so it didn't bother me that much.
Gotcha. John. Oh, excuse me. Yeah, Jim, please. Mr. Wilson, please.
Chuck, your dad built relationships selling insurance by connecting through his ability to speak Italian with other Italians in South Philadelphia. What did you notice about how he connected with people?
Oh, man, it was so fun when I was a young kid, going to a car dealership to watch my dad wheel and deal, buying a car. And he would fleece every salesman he ever talked to. And it was just because of how he always carried himself and always smiled. And I kind of knew that he commanded the room when he was talking to those sales guys.
And today, even in a technical business, are relationships still the foundation of everything?
It's the number one thing at Mechanical X Advantages, bond and family and trust and all of us being on the same page all the time.
And your mom started her own business when you were 11. Do you think watching her take that leap shaped how you approach risk and growth today?
Without a doubt. Without having that in my background, there's no way I would have closed my eyes and bet on myself, you know, because I watched my mom do it for 30 years, and it kind of just pushed me to like, all right, I can't wait till I get old enough where I can open my company.
And you were doing a lot at her business, you know, painting, taking out the trash, doing whatever needed to get done. Do you ever think about that contrast from doing everything manually to building systems that make it seamless?
Yeah, I mean, I love to build stuff. So it's tough for me to not keep my hands on every little thing in the business every day. So being a great leader is delegating. So I'm getting better at delegating.
Mr. Golnack?
Yeah, we've heard about your father's hustle, tremendous sales experience, your mother's pride in the business, what she instilled in you. How do you take those two values of hustle and pride and weave them into your organization that you lead today?
Well, I mean, I kind of took on myself motivation and inspire all of us, right? So I take it from them, right? Making sure that we're all prideful, not letting each other down. We have a very tight bond at Mechanical X Advantage where all of us feel like family, and none of us are blood, but we have the tightest bond that we could ever imagine.
Mm-hmm. Russ?
Yeah, Chuck, you had said earlier that Mechanical X Advantage is your seventh LLC.
Yeah.
That's an important point. So more important than what the first six were, the fact that there were six prior, how does that shape where you are now?
Man, my three favorite words in business are act, assess, and adjust, right? So I was acting as much as I could, not knew when I was doing, hey, let's start this company. Let's see how this goes. Let's start this one. Then had the opportunity to become a partner into this. And my buddy called and said, hey, you want to start another company? Of course, my answer was, sure, what are we doing? And we figured it out. So it was fun going through and adjusting everything as we went.
Mm-hmm. Ari?
Chuck, I'm picking up on this theme of friendship along the way. It seems like you're growing the business, making more friends along the way. What about your childhood friends? Did you leave them behind?
No way, man. We grew up with a great neighborhood. Clifton was tight, and we still have our chat going today, and I still talk to all of them to this day. So it's I loved all of us getting together, and it's great that we still talk to this
you
day.
You still meet with them and catch up?
As much as we can, you know? So It's great.
Well, that's also the way you built your business. It sounds like you have some pretty tight relationships with your partners as well as your team. Michael?
Sure. Chuck, you had talked about family and obviously your friends. So tell me some lessons that you learned from your friends and maybe your extended family, your cousins that you use in business today.
Well, my younger cousin was always a driver. He had a tough childhood growing up with his parents getting divorced, but never let anything beat him. He was the same way, where he started a company early on. He had ups and downs, just like I did with my other six or seven of them. And, you know, just watching him just being tenacious all day, every day, never stopping working. And now it really paid off for him years later. So it was great, inspiring watching my younger cousin kind of vaulting over everybody, just working as hard as he could.
Mm-hmm. John?
Yeah, Chuck, well, growing up in the neighborhood, role models that we've discussed, what was it in that major pivot in your life that allowed you to take that entrepreneurial leap?
Well, like I said earlier, like just knowing that, hey, my mom took the leap and it was scary for her. She had kids and her husband was out selling stuff all the time. And I'm like, hey, if she can do it, I can do it. You know, I have somebody to lean on if I have questions or comments, and just be proud that, hey, look, I'm kind of following in footsteps, even though it's not the same business. It's still me betting on myself.
Mr. Wilson?
Fantastic.
Chuck, when you think about how hard your parents worked, your mom building something, your dad out on commission, do you ever feel like everything you've built is in some way for them?
Yeah, I mean, absolutely. It shows how much that I was paying attention to them, even though they might not have thought that I was. You know, as a kid, you're like, oh, dad's not home, but I knew what he was out doing. And my mom taking a leap and stressing out all the time about, you know, her employees calling out and her having to go work and just... it is for sure.
Chuck, do you think are your parents aware of your success? Do you think they're proud of you?
They're more than proud. It's great. It's
why?
I think because the best part about it is I don't think they knew how much influence they had just going through the motions all the time. So I think they're more proud of just kind of sitting in the background and watching and seeing how things are going and seeing me struggle with the other six or seven businesses. And now seeing Mechanical X Advantage blowing up is just, it's great.
Uh-huh. So it sounds, but as opposed to you being doing it yourself or being independent, it sounds like you got some pretty close relationships with your partners and your teammates. Am I right about that?
You're 1,000% right, Herb. There's four of us that are the founding members. And the great part about what we've been able to build is we've been lucky enough to bring all of our close families in. I mean, I have one of my best friends, my college roommates, working with us. My one partner, Matt, has his brother, Andy, working with us. So it's, you know, we had a great day yesterday where we gave equity to our top seven employees. So it was a full circle day yesterday.
Why would you give away equity to your employees? Why would you do something like that?
Well, Herb, they're not employees, man. They are family, and they deserve every single thing that they get. They were with us through thick and thin, and they deserve it. They absolutely deserve it. We don't consider anybody employees. We're all teammates. We're all on the same team.
Did you promise that to them up front, or did you just surprise them?
No, they had no idea. Yesterday was great. They had no idea what was coming yesterday. We told them we were having the OG employee meeting at our office, and they came in, and I popped the PowerPoint presentation up, and then everybody's tears started flowing. It was a great day.
Why would it be a great day for you? You're giving something away as a surprise, and you're feeling great about it?
Herb, it is not about me, man. This is about building everybody around me. That's all it's about. It's never about me. It's never about my partners. It's about us providing with all.
It sounds like making the $6 an hour with your mom and taking your friends out for water ice.
Right.
What's the website address for this organization known as Mechanical X Advantage?
MechanicalXAdvantage.com.
We've been speaking with Chuck Sebastiani, managing partner of Mechanical X Advantage. Don't forget to visit our website, executiveleadersradio.com. We'll be back in a moment right after this quick break. Don't go anywhere.
Liberty Nation with Mark Angelides.
Potential upsets afoot with the Electoral College and the usual Democrat-heavy California gubernatorial race. Find out how and why on Liberty Nation Radio this week.
Author, columnist, managing editor of LibertyNation.com, podcast host and conservative policy advocate.
We dismiss history at our peril.
Liberty Nation with Mark Angelides.
Spring cleaning isn't just for your house, it's for your life. If your job is getting old, it's time to clear the clutter and spring into IT. Go to My Computer Career.
My Computer Career helped me get the skills and certifications I needed to start a new life as an IT professional in months, not years.
Earn the certifications that top employers are looking for right now. Visit mycomputercareer.edu and take the free career evaluation to see if it's time to spring into IT. Financial aid is available to those who qualify, including VA benefits.
Shopping for a car can be overwhelming. Prices, reliability, safety. It's hard to know where to start. That's where iccars.com comes in. iccars is the smart, easy way to buy your next car. With millions of listings analyzed every day, they give you unbiased ratings on price, quality, and long-term value. Whether you're looking for a new ride, a dependable used car, or just want to know if that deal is really worth it, iCCars takes the guesswork out of car shopping. You'll find powerful tools like price history, dealer scorecards, and even a free VIN check so you can shop with confidence. Don't just buy a car, buy it smarter. Visit iCCars.com today or download the app and find the right car at the right price. That's iSeeCars.com.
We all hear the radio ads about the IRS. They tell you to be afraid, to be scared, and they try to frighten you into calling. I'm not here to do that. Tax Relief Advocates is different. TRA is here to tell you that if you owe money to the IRS, whether it's $5,000, $50,000, or $500,000, we have a solution. It doesn't matter if you're sitting in your car, at work, or with your kids, no matter where you are, call now. 800-497-9852. Don't lose hope. TRA can eliminate or reduce what you owe to the IRS. Generous programs are now available that can give you a fresh start. Our passion is taxes and helping individuals fix their IRS problems. We have over 1,000 five-star reviews on Google and an A-plus with the Better Business Bureau. You don't need to be afraid of the IRS any longer. End your tax nightmare today by visiting us online at TRA.com or call 800-497-9852. That's 800-497-9852. Tax Relief Advocates, real solutions for real people.
We're back. You're listening to Executive Leaders Radio. This is your host, Herb Cohen. And let's get to know Katie Breaux, who's the partner at MGA Partners. Katie, what is MGA Partners? What are you guys doing?
Good morning. Sure. MGA Partners is an architecture firm based in Philadelphia. We do design, crafted design for colleges, universities, and institutions.
Gotcha. Where you're from, how many brothers and sisters, and where are you in the pecking order?
Sure. I'm from Grand Rapids, Michigan. I am the youngest of three, two older sisters.
And 8 to 14, what were you doing 8 to 14 years old?
You know, I was a pretty standard kid, I think, at 8 to 14. Going to school, I switched schools a bunch of times in that time period from a couple of Catholic parochial schools and ended up at a magnet school that was part of our public school system.
And you mentioned you had a friend, her name was Lisa, that had a major influence on you. What was that influence?
You know, I knew Lisa from the day I was born. Her dad and my dad were ski buddies together. She was a dancer, so she got herself out there and was just really active artistically.
So she gave you, she actually showed you the other things in life and exposed you to the art.
She did. Mr. She's Wilson. Kind of like my second sister.
And Mr. Wilson, you want to take the mic, please?
Katie, you grew up in a family where service was part of everyday life. Your parents volunteered. They welcomed families starting over from Vietnam. And then you're on ski patrol in high school, responsible for people in vulnerable moments. How did that shape your sense of empathy?
Well, I just think that, it taught me that volunteering and giving back is really an important component of who I am, and that it's important for other people to feel that you're there for them. I take it into how I work and in working with my clients as well.
Now you design spaces where people feel safe and like they belong. Do you see a connection?
I do. I see a place for a value in education, a value in making spaces that people feel like they can do their best work.
And Ross, you want to give me a hand, please?
Yeah, I mean, Katie, things like the ski patrol and others, like you had a lot of responsibility. A lot of times we see that in like the oldest child, not the youngest. So who were you in that in the mix at home?
I think I was a relatively studious one. I had an older sister who was a little bit more daring. She was the rebellious one. And, I think I kind of ran a little bit clear from that, and I was able to develop myself independently a bit more.
Yeah. So that kind of confidence to even do that. And did that drive, how does that drive into who you are today and the path you picked?
I steer a bit clear of the fray. I try to keep my head up and look a little bit further beyond the day-to-day issues that we face and try and look a bit further forward. So I think that helps in that context.
John?
We talked about how you moved around from school to school. We also talked about the ski patrol in the background. How do you know in your architectural style, how do you blend the environment now to meet the experience that you're chasing for your ultimate outcome?
I think much of our work is within academic spaces, and the way that we learn is different than how we used to. I think we've progressed. We're no longer sitting in a lecture hall facing forward and having messages sent to us. Instead, it's about how you experience something, doing work together collaboratively. So we need to make spaces for people to really thrive in that context.
Michael?
Well, Katie, let me follow up on that. What in your youth impacted you to value collaborative work and an experiential spirit in your designs?
Well, I would say, the way that I academically, the school that I went to when I was young, a magnet school that brought kids from all over the city, I really got a lot of exposure to kids that came from different backgrounds, different religions, different points of view. And that melting pot of the school, I think, really also shifted my thinking that everyone who comes to the table has something different to offer. I see that on a job site as well. You have contractors that are plumbers, electricians, and the like, and they all bring an expertise to the table that you have to value and really celebrate.
Ari?
Katie, we were trying to understand where your creative voice came from, and you mentioned your fourth grade art teacher, Ms. DiPersia, that she really supported you and helped you. Can you tell our audience a little bit more about that experience and how that changed your life?
Well, I think, our teachers mean so much, right? If you mentor a young child, I think that is meaningful and they carry that with them. My art teacher was one that really made you value that your creative spirit actually has a place, that it's not just about, achieving well in math and science and other academic subjects, but artistic expression is also a really strong value that people can take forth with themselves.
Mr. Hemphill?
Katie, you switched environments a lot. You made it work. How does that relate to how you work with your clients to develop spaces that are exactly what each individual client needs?
I think everyone comes from a different place. They need different things. The architecture, the environment that we create for them really has to be customized for what they are trying to accomplish. So I think having that agility, that flexibility, that's what I think creative, critical thinking and design thinking, you're able to take to the table.
Mr. Wilson?
Katie, going back to seeing your parents volunteer and all that service growing up, what did that really teach you about leadership?
Well, one, I think you have to be empathetic and you have to listen and you have to just see the place that other people are at and what they might need in a certain situation. But I think it's about understanding how to give back and how to value, understand the perspective of where you are versus where other people are.
So when you strip leadership down to its core, is it really just about making people feel seen, safe, and like they belong?
Yeah, and then responding and being able to translate that for them. In my mind, I have absorbed the context, and now I am able to shape it into something that actually might not be something that they were looking for to begin with.
Is that what drives your work today? Designing spaces that change how people can experience learning and connection?
It really does. I think that how we as architects can create a vision for someone and that it might not be something that they expected when they went in is just really a driving component of the work that we do.
Mr. Hooper? Michael? There we go. I understand that Katie, you're the head of the
design, and you're also president of AIA in Philly. What compelled you to add that on?
Well, you know, I've volunteered a lot for different nonprofit boards, and eventually realized that I really have a passion for how our profession operates and being able to support all of the architects in our profession. So I think it's important to elevate that. We advocate for a lot of things about housing insecurity, about climate change, about increasing equity in our profession, being able to really support a pipeline of people coming into the profession, whether minority or women, to really broaden our field. And that's what I think that as part of AIA Philadelphia and beyond, what we really need to be advocating within our field.
So it sounds to me like you got a lot of common with your mom and your dad. I mean, taking in, you know, helping immigrants feel comfortable in their environment. Sounds to me like you're not only doing that as a profession, but you're also doing that, you know, as the head of the AIA. Am I seeing that correctly or am I mistaken?
No, I, you know, it's interesting doing this interview. It kind of ties together many things in your life. And so I really enjoy that. And I do. I think that it carries through even just professionally within my studio. We have a number of people who are foreign citizens and foreigners, and helping them find a place here in this country is really an important component of our work.
Helping them. Jim, what are you tying together here, Mr. Wilson? You're pretty tuned in. What are you picking up, Mr. Wilson?
I just think a combination of all this, you know, it all comes down to empathy, I think, designing these spaces and, you know, making people feel seen and safe. And you know, I think a lot of that comes from the volunteering, comes from, you know, the background in skiing and taking care of others. It's really, you know, putting others first and, you know, the background of moving to different schools and finding the right environment to be in. I mean, it's.
Katie, what's the website address for MGA Partners?
Sure, it's mgapartners.com.
We've been speaking with Katie Bro, partner of MGA Partners, and also the head of the Architects Institute here in Greater Philadelphia. Don't forget to visit our website, executiveleadersradio.com, to learn more about our executive leaders. It's executiveleadersradio.com. We'll be back in a moment right after this quick break. Don't go anywhere.
This is Herb Cohen, your host of Executive Leaders Radio. And if you're a business consultant, if you consult to business owners or to business owners' team members, then we'd like to speak with you because we're getting requests from people all over the country, from entrepreneurs all over the country that are starting and building their businesses where they're looking for help. And maybe we can help connect you. Why don't you email us at consult@executiveleadersradio.com. That's consult@executiveleadersradio.com. And perhaps we can connect you to folks, to entrepreneurs and their team members all around the country that are looking for help. That's consult@executiveleadersradio.com.
This is your Tech It Out Minute, brought to you by Norton.
From your top music picks and podcasts to your favorite radio station, you deserve the very best audio experience, which is exactly what you get with JBL's Tour 1M3 over-ear headphones. Tech expert Mario Armstrong has the details.
The sound on these are incredible. It's also super comfortable to wear. It's like one of those things where I wear over-the-ear headphones. After a while, they start to irritate me. These don't. They have up to 70 hours of battery life and a touchscreen transmitter that connects to in-flight entertainment
and the JBL Tour Pro 3 earbuds.
Now these include a smart charging case that acts as a wireless transmitter, and you can use the charging case to do a lot of controls and things that you want to adjust with the headphones. Both of these have adaptive noise canceling and ambient aware mode, so you can tune in or out whenever you need.
Check out both of those at jbl.com.
That was your Tech It Out Minute, brought to you by Norton.
60 seconds of service.
This 60 seconds of service is presented by T-Mobile. Those who serve, save. Military families get exclusive savings with T-Mobile, America's best network, according to Ookla speed test. So you can stay connected wherever duty calls. Visit t-mobile.com/military-savings to learn more.
In Coppers Cove, Texas, veteran Juanita Myers was recognized at the national level by the VFW for her outstanding community service. Her work is focused on supporting fellow veterans, assisting military families, and strengthening local volunteer efforts. Myers has become not only for her military service, but for her continued dedication after returning home. Community leaders praised her for stepping into roles that uplift others, whether through advocacy, mentoring, or organizing veteran support programs. For more great veteran stories, just go to NationalDefenseNetwork.com. Today's 60 Seconds of Service is brought to you by Prevagen. Prevagen is the number one pharmacist recommended memory support brand. You can find Prevagen in the vitamin aisle in stores everywhere.
Wesley Financial Group is not a law firm.
I'm Chuck McDowell, founder of Wesley Financial Group. Did you buy a timeshare because they told you it was a great investment? That's a lie. Most timeshares can be bought online for a dollar. To find out what your timeshare is worth and to cancel it, call us today and we'll send you our timeshare exit kit free with all your options for cancellation.
Call Wesley for your free exit info guide. 800-296-6868. That's 800-296-6868.
In today's fast-moving job market, staying ahead means keeping your skills sharp. At University of Maryland Global Campus, we help keep your capabilities cutting edge with our skills-based education programs designed to move your career forward. Explore more than 135 degrees and certificates in business, cybersecurity, and more. Apply now and save with no application fee. Classes start May 13th. Learn more at umgc.edu. Certified to operate in Virginia by Chef.
We're back. You're listening to Executive Leaders Radio. This is your host, Herb Cohen. Let's get to know Ed Baumstein, founder of Recipe Philly. Ed, what is Recipe Philly? What are you guys doing?
Recipe Philly is a reality TV show, a competition that takes everyday home chefs and puts them in a competition to have their home cooked meal show up on the menu of a live, real restaurant.
Gotcha. Where you're from, how many brothers and sisters, and where are you in the pecking order?
I'm originally from Montreal, but moved to Philadelphia area when I was about six or seven, and have been here all the remaining time.
And you're the middle of three kids. And what were you doing 8 to 14? What was that period of your life like?
I was really kind of an independent kid. Parents were not great at parenting. They were great people, but just not great at parenting. And it's really kind of trying to figure life out on my own during those years.
Now, I understand that you, that Mr. Golnack is now the CEO of a company that you started, and he just happens to be here today. And Mr. Golnack made us aware of some prior successes. Mr. Golnack, you want to take the microphone and help us get to know Mr. Baumstein?
Yeah, absolutely. Thank you. And it's tough following Ed in life, let alone on a radio show here. But Ed, please expand. You're a serial entrepreneur. You've had two businesses prior, very successful before this launch of Recipe Philly. Can you walk us through some of that?
Sure. So I actually started my career as a CPA, worked for Pricewaterhouse, then left and went to a staffing company when it was about $400,000 in size. I eventually became the CEO the CEO, and together with other companies did a roll up and took it public in the late 90s. I was the president COO of that company. And then I grew Solomon Edwards from scratch to about $100 million in size. And we flipped that to a private equity firm about 4 years ago.
Mr. Wilson?
Ed, around COVID, you hosted a potluck and noticed something. People didn't just love the food. They loved watching others enjoy what they made. What did you see in that moment that stuck with you?
This was the genesis for founding Recipe Philly. We had a potluck dinner instead of a traditional Christmas party that was catered. And our colleagues brought their best dishes. And it was a light bulb went off in my head. The food was filled with love and care. And the other thing that I noticed is that people love their 15 minutes of fame. People hung around the buffet table to see who ate their dish next to the other person.
You also talked about this time where you were being at the lake as a kid, surrounded by families that had more, and you were out there stacking wood for $5, but you still had a place there. You were part of it, even if it looked different. Do you think that experience shaped how you see value now, that it's not about where someone comes from, but what they bring?
That's a great question. I definitely feel that being a part of a community from a socioeconomic point of view where our family wasn't there definitely had an impact on opening my eyes to what we could become.
And is that what Recipe is, creating a space where anyone, regardless of background, gets to show up and be valued?
I think it's a celebration of people and of food and bringing people in love together through food.
John?
Yeah, I mean, growing up, you shared how independent you were, you know, whether it be stacking wood or just going out and finding your own way. This Recipe Philly, is this a full circle culmination of kind of bringing a community, a single point where everybody is welcome? Does this fill a void you thought you missed as a child?
I'd like to think of myself as a creative person. And honestly, John, the rationale for Recipe Philly was to bring something positive and celebratory into the world, as opposed to a lot of the negativity we're seeing everywhere we turn.
Mr. Hempel?
I just wonder what it was like around the table when you were growing up. And it seems like you're creating something for everyone that you may not have had as much of when you were growing up yourself.
Yeah. Yeah, I had a tough childhood. We weren't well off, and I think survival was really kind of the word that we focused on. But I had two parents that met on a blind date, engaged 3 weeks later, married 3 months after that, and right up in love until my father passed away. So it was a good environment in that regard, but we didn't have much.
Uh-huh. Mr. Stark.
Yeah, Ed, you were talking about that tough childhood earlier, and you joked that, you know, when you were out of the house a lot, you weren't getting into anything good. But I think there's some teeth in a comment like that too, right? But you also clearly were working hard, you were organizing events. So that there was a tension there. How did you move through that to get to where you are today and the way that you're giving back and providing experiences for others?
You know, I think people like me, entrepreneurs that go and create and do things, live a little bit outside the norms or the lines. And so we have paths that we can choose. We have choices to make. There are times I've made poor choices. But at the end of the day, we become who we are based on the choices that we make. And I'm grateful that I've been able to make good choices and turn positive things into things for other people as well as myself and my family.
Was there anyone who helped you make those choices, or did you have to be diligent yourself about finding that path?
The answer to that is actually both. Because of the way I grew up, I was somewhat independently, not really managed or supervised by parents. And so I have to figure out a lot by myself. But the one credit I'll give is to my grandparents on my mother's side, who invested in me and time. As one example, I couldn't read after second grade. And my grandmother spent a whole summer teaching me to read. And I was the best reader at the end of third grade. And I graduated high school when I was 16.
Ari?
That's a good segue, Ed, from reading. What fascinates me is how well you read people and their needs. It seems like it's not like you're going in with your own idea, but you're finding an idea that becomes a business. How did you build that skill up?
Right. I really actually appreciate that question, Ari, because I really feel that of the many skill sets that I have, that's probably the one I am most grateful about. is, and that I think is the success. What businesses are that are successful is they listen to the community, they listen to the audience, and they see where there's a need and then seize that moment and go after that. And I think I have been good about listening and humility. Those are a couple of things that get you to other people.
Mr. Hooper?
Ed, based on the difficulties and albeit failures you might have had in your youth, what's the one lesson that you bring with you today that you're using for this nifty experience of Recipe?
Could you just repeat that question again? I'm sorry.
What's the best lesson you learned from your youth that you're bringing with you for a Recipe?
I think finding joy in life. I think that's the best lesson. No matter what you're faced with, find the joy in life.
Mr. Wilson?
Ed, you said you wanted to bring positivity into the world. How do you measure that or know you're actually doing it?
Well, Sigmund Freud built a whole basis of personality studying people that had psychiatric messes. And he built a whole philosophy on healthy individuals doing that. When you see good, you know what good is. And I think psychiatry has rejected Freud now because of those reasons.
I think it's when someone realizes that something they created matters to other people. Isn't that what you're doing with Recipe?
Hopefully, right? That would be an ultimate prize.
So it sounds to me like this this business that you're creating, it sounds like you really are enjoying it. Again, give me another explanation for it. Give me that again, what Recipe Philly is all about again.
Yes, Recipe Philly is a reality TV show that's a competition with home chefs to get their everyday meal on the menu of a live operating restaurant.
Got you. What's the website address for this organization?
It's recipe-philly.com.
Got you. We've been speaking with Ed Baumstein, founder of Recipe Philly, here on Executive Leaders Radio. And Mr. Russell Stark, could you please give us a rundown on who we've had on the air today, please?
Sure thing. We had Tom Salamente, CEO of Spread Bagelry. We had Chuck Sebastiani, managing partner at Mechanical X Advantage. We had Katie Bro, partner at MGA Partners, and we had Ed Baumstein, founder of Recipe Philly.
Excellent. I'd like to thank my co-hosts, including Jim Wilson, Newmark, Mike Hooper, Obermeyer, Russ Stark, Weidenhammer, Ari Banerjee, Consumer 51, Jim Hemphill, TGS Financial, and John Golnack, Solomon Edwards, for giving me a hand structuring the questions. Hopefully providing our listening audience an educational and entertaining show. I'd like to thank our listening audience, otherwise we wouldn't have a radio show. Don't forget to visit our website, it's executiveleadersradio.com. To learn more about our executive leaders, it's executiveleadersradio.com. To learn more about our executive leaders, thank you for joining us today and have a nice day. Bye-bye.
Liberty Nation with Mark Angelides.
Potential upsets afoot with the Electoral College and the usual Democrat-heavy California gubernatorial race. Find out how and why on Liberty Nation Radio this week.
Author, columnist, managing editor of LibertyNation.com, podcast host and conservative policy advocate.
We dismiss history at our peril.
Liberty Nation with Mark Angelides.
Veterans and active duty service members, when your call to service ends, your mission doesn't have to. Go from GI to IT in just a few months at My Computer Career. Prepare for a high-demand career in cybersecurity, protecting people, systems, and institutions from real cyber threats. Cyber warriors are needed now. Will you answer the call? Go to mycomputercareer.edu/CWP to learn more. That's mycomputercareer.edu/CWP, an Elite CompTIA certification partner. VA education benefits are available to those who qualify.